There is a big tussle going on at the NPR offices of the Bryant Park Project. Everybody wants the copy of Padma Lakshmi's new book, Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet.
We get a lot.
I've already
of...
written my name in mine.
So
we have a lot of books that get mailed to us, and most of them go on this free pile. But this is one that everybody's so interested in because it's sort of is amazing photographs, amazing recipes. People, of course, probably know Padma maybe now mostly from this show, Top Chef, which I don't want to make your head swell too much, but I feel like that show went to a whole other level when you started hosting it.
Oh,
I'm such
thank
a fan.
You. Thank you very much. It's a really great show to be a part of. I was such a naysayer and very cynical about reality shows, but I have to say this show is, I think, popular with everyone because it's about something. It's always compelling to see someone be really good at what they do and strive to be as the best in what they do and whatever that is, whether it's cooking or sewing or sports. I think, it's very compelling and food unifies us all. And so we all have very strict opinions about that. So something for everyone.
One of the things I really like about your book is it is useful as a cookbook, but it would also make a very lovely coffee table book because there's beautiful pictures and essays in the book. And in the introduction to it, you write about how your life experience, all the different people who came in and out of your life and all their various ethnicities really helped you believe that the next wave of food culture is global.
Oh, most definitely. I think that, the world has become a much bigger place and a much smaller place with the internet and with, also our generation of eaters really is much more aware. We're much more well-traveled with our forks. We don't have to travel the globe. The whole, world comes to us on every food court. And if you think about what you guys ate in the last 10 days, you probably had some Mexican food,
yes,
some pasta or pizza, yes, some sushi, maybe some Arabic food, maybe some Thai, maybe some Moroccan. And I think this is how we all eat, not only in America, but around the world in most urban cities. And I think it's very exciting.
Can I just ask, what kind of food did you grow up eating? What is your background, actually? Like, when you put a Google search in for Padma Lakshmi, it is long because people are so fascinated with you as a person outside of the show, outside of cooking. What's your story?
Well, I'll try and give you the cliff-noted version. I was born in India, and I came to America when I was about 4, but I kept getting shuttled back to India. Like, the week after school was done in June, I was on a plane, and so, I was always going back and forth. I came here to New York, so I always say that my childhood was split up between Manhattan and Madras, which is my South Indian town now called Chennai. And then, after college, I traveled and I lived in Spain and I lived in Italy for 6 years and in France. And so, that has really shaped me. That's where I learned classic European cooking technique. And I sort of melded that with my own Asian background. But as an immigrant in the city, my mother took me to Spanish Harlem for sugarcane, down to Chinatown for some, Asian vegetables that we used in our cooking. And so I was really, touched by all these different flavors and ethnicities, and I think we've all got that. You may not be Indian, and you may not have lived with a boyfriend in Italy, and
a lot you don't know about me,
probably. But I think we all have those stories. We all have a Korean college roommate. We all have a Peruvian babysitter, who's affected our identity, at least culinarily speaking, but much more than that.
Also, I think it's interesting that one part of your book with the last chapters is devoted specifically to mangoes and chutneys, and you have all kinds of interesting ingredients. You brought some of them here today, but I want to ask, for someone who's reading this book and is in a really rural area and really wants to find cardamom pods, do you have any suggestions about some of the more exotic spices, where to go?
I do, and we ran out of space in this book, and we're already reprinting, which is great. But in a future edition, we are going to put a page of sources. But honestly, you can get anything you need from my book by going to any good Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or, an Indian grocery store. There is a place called Kalusthians here in New York City, and they have a website, and they will mail you anything by mail order anywhere you are. In fact, when I was traveling in Europe and I couldn't get things like fresh curry leaves, they would send them to me.
It's kind of interesting also because it also might get people to investigate different neighborhoods they've always heard about in their city. Like, oh, I've never been to Koreatown.
Yeah.
I've never been to Little India. Maybe I should go and check out and buy some
ingredients.
Yeah,
and also a lot of these recipes, you know, some of the more elaborate ones are like a Moroccan curried bistilla pie. And traditionally that's made with pigeon, but I make it with ground chicken. But you can make it with ground turkey or ground lamb or anything. That's probably the most, you know, foreign, total start to finish, fiddly dish. But there are lots of easy things to make that are really just classic American recipes that we're all familiar with, like chicken soup or macaroni and cheese, or let's say even crab cakes, which are, for instance, in the back cover. Mm-hmm. And I just take those types of dishes and I add two or three eclectic ingredients to them to give them a whole new personality. So, for instance, the crab cakes are called Kerala crab cakes. Kerala is in South India. And I just use, you know, grated coconut. You can use dried unsweetened coconut. It doesn't have to be fresh. And a little bit of green mango powder and some serrano chilies and coriander. So it gives you this new kind of very sophisticated dish, but with little change to your normal repertoire. Because I've realized that, you know, a lot of us who cook, especially on weeknights, we have an audience of three or four family members at the dinner table, and it's hard to say, okay, guys, I'm making this thing that you've never heard of.
Right.
But you can expand your family's culinary horizons just by adding this two or three ingredients. Now, before, like in front of you.
Yeah, this is like a science project.
Yeah, you have kaffir lime leaves. I just want you guys to break the leaf and leaf and just have a sniff. You will.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it smells like the ocean and lime trees, you know, and it's just beautiful. And you can add that to soups. You can add it to curries.
This is embarrassing. I'm going to be at my desk all day sniffing leaves.
Yeah, it smells so good. You know,
this smells a lot better than the office.
You guys will recognize that fragrance from a lot of Thai dishes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, soup! I'm already like lemongrass soup with the shrimp. I'm smelling it already. So what's in the cups?
Okay, so you have a red kind of vermilion. Powder there. That is sumac. Sumac is a powder that adds tartness to any dish, and I wish you guys could see it because it adds this beautiful vermilion color. You can sprinkle it on dips, use it in roasts.
Sort of a bronzy, deep red combination.
Sprinkle it on peel-offs, anything.
I
mean, this is a beautiful garnish, but it also adds tartness when you don't want moisture into a dish, like from lemon juice and stuff. And that is used in Middle Eastern cooking, but actually sumac is indigenous to North America. You know, they used to use it in cough syrup.
That is as in the tree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bush. It's a sumac bush. And it's berries that they've dried and powdered.
It sounds like what you're saying with this book is that there's a whole spectrum. There's stuff that's really different tasting than what maybe, let's say, a lot of sort of Americans have grown up eating. But even things like crab cakes that are classic, you throw a little bit of flavor in and you've sort of started on the road towards someday maybe being top chef. So I brought it all back around.
Very nice. That's a nice way to wrap.
You can use these ingredients in anything.
Yeah. Padma Lakshmi, author of Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet. You want to get this book. It's just great all the way around.
I don't even
like cookbooks, and I'm going to steal this from Ilya.
Thank you.
Ilya swore on the air he doesn't get to have this cookbook. So thank
you're
you.
You're a trooper.
You get the Trooper
really
of the Year
time.
Award.
Thank you.
Got lots of book readings and
I
stuff,
love
so
NPR.
We appreciate it.
I support NPR. I hope you guys are on the air forever.
Well, please come back another day. We'll have you back another time.
I would love to.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, Padma.